Good evening. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 6. That's where we'll be spending our time tonight. We'll be reading Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. But before we come to God's Word, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for all that we've been able to engage in this service so far. We thank you that we have much to praise you for, and we pray that the words of our mouths would honor you tonight, Father. We thank you for your Son and for all that we have through him, that it's through him that we have all hope and meaning and purpose in life. So, Father, we pray that you'd be with us tonight as we study your word once again. We thank you for your faithfulness to us and how you promise that you will speak through your word. So tonight we just pray once again that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that you would encourage us where we need it. But we pray that your Spirit would just be working within us, helping us to make plain and make simple these truths found within your word. For we acknowledge that we can't do it on our own, that there's nothing within us that we'd be able to comprehend your word, but we pray for your help now, for it's in your name we ask it. Amen. And before we read from Matthew 6, I just want to give you a little bit of context as to where we're looking tonight. This passage that we're going to read comes right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has previously been teaching about what these listeners believe about the law. Much of Jesus' ministry is directed towards these Pharisees, these religious leaders of the day who have twisted the law to suit themselves and to make themselves look great. They've put themselves at the top of religion, and they believe that it's them that's to be followed. But Jesus has been changing or has been making complete this teaching of the law. He's been teaching these listeners that it's not just about not doing something. It's about our hearts. It's about what we think as well as our actions. And now in this section now that we're about to read in Matthew 6, from actually verses 1 to 18, Jesus looks at the practice of the law, how that works its way out in our lives. But we'll be just looking at verses 1 to 4. But that's a little bit about what this passage means for us, and just hopefully will help us to grasp a little bit about where we are in the Bible. So we'll read Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4 together. God's word says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And that's as far as we'll read tonight. I don't know if you've ever watched a TV series or watched a movie or a play and thought that a particular actor's performance is just a little bit unconvincing. I'm going to take you back to probably around 8 years ago, give or take, and I was in this church and had the privilege of serving on Holiday Bible Club, and I was part of the drama team with Tommy Roberts, and Tommy Roberts is great. He has much gift in our church. And this one particular drama that we were performing all week, Tommy was a mean, evil pirate that was this grumpy old pirate that was supposed to rile up the kids every now and again. And Tommy is great, but he's a bit unbelievable as a grumpy old pirate. Take it as a compliment. You're not a grumpy old man, Tommy. But it was hard to get behind Tommy as a grumpy old pirate because that's not how we see Tommy, thankfully. But this is kind of what Jesus is doing in this passage here. Jesus is calling out these Pharisees, these teachers of the law of the day, because they are putting on a performance. But Jesus is telling them and warning them and rebuking them that they're fooling no one. And while they may be fooling those around them, people may have followed them, but the most important thing is that they can't fool God. Ultimately, they will be found out for this act that they are performing. So if you look with me to verse 1, This is where the titles of my Bible kind of fail a little bit. To give you a feel for this, the flow of this passage, verse 1 should almost not be under, in my Bible, as it's under the heading of giving to the needy. Verse 1 should stand on its own, and it's kind of the preface for all these next acts that Jesus talks about. Jesus is talking about these acts that we serve him with of righteousness. He talks in verses 1 to 4 about giving to the needy. That's what my Bible tells me. And then he talks about prayer in verses 5 to 15. And then he talks about fasting in that final section from 16 to 18. But as we read on, in our Bibles, we should do so with verse 1 in our minds. Verse 1 is the framework from which Jesus is talking through each of these religious practices. So what is it that Jesus is getting at here in verse 1? Well, we see, if we read it together, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is saying that we are to practice righteousness, and these Pharisees, they practice these righteous acts, but there's something that's different between them and what Jesus expects of us as believers. You see, their heart is in the wrong place. Jesus is identifying in verse 1 that this is not an issue of giving to the needy. This isn't a sermon that's going to convince you to give more to the needy, although that is a good thing to do. This is a sermon that is going to address the heart. It's an issue of the heart that Jesus is addressing here. So as we go on and as maybe you read in your own devotional time, maybe from verses 5 to 15 and from 16 to 18, you must do so with this mindset that it is the heart that Jesus is addressing here. It's not simply the act of giving to the needy. So I have two simple points to bring before you tonight. Firstly, one thing that God is warning us away from in this passage, and something that we are being encouraged towards. Firstly, in verse 2, we see the heart of a hypocrite. This is what Jesus is warning us away from. And then in verse 3 and 4, we see the heart of a genuine disciple, someone who truly follows and truly believes in Jesus. So firstly, in verse 2, we'll see the heart of a hypocrite. We'll read it together. So follow along. It says in verse 2, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." And I'm not sure what your understanding of the word hypocrite is. I kind of always assumed it in the way that we use it in our context today. We use the word hypocrite to mean someone who says one thing but does something completely different. And that's not wrong, that is part of it. But in this the time that this was written in, a hypocrite was actually a term used for a Greek actor who used different masks to portray different roles. You've probably seen illustrations of that before. A direct translation of the word hypocrite means a stage player. And I don't know if, for me, that was something that really blew this passage open to me. It was something that really helped understand what it is exactly that Jesus is warning us away from. See, these Pharisees, they were these stage players. They were these Greek actors that used these masks to portray different roles. Because if you imagine this actor on the stage, no matter whether they were good or whether they were a bad actor, you knew when they had that happy mask on that they were supposed to be happy. That as they were walking about the stage, as they were speaking to the audience, that things were supposed to be happy in this play. But then they could just instantly switch from happy to sad. And no matter whether they were a good actor or a bad actor, you knew that your heart was supposed to go out to this actor who was playing this sad role now. And as things became somber and slow, your heart was supposed to go out to them. Well, this is exactly what Jesus is warning us away from here. He is calling the Pharisees out for not having a happy or sad mask, but having a mask of righteousness. He's warning us away from this kind of masquerade Christianity, where we try to put on a performance just to please those that's around us, just so that we may get credit or praise from those that are maybe witnessing us serve them. See, our righteous acts should not resemble that of a play. This is what the Pharisees were great at. They did all these righteous acts. They gave abundantly to the poor. They prayed the most eloquent prayers you've probably ever heard. And they fasted so often. Yet the thing that made them different from the believers that Jesus is encouraging here in this passage is that their heart was in the wrong place. This was simply an act. It was simply a performance. They wanted the external praise from those around them. They wanted those passers-by to look at them and think, wow, that's exactly how I need to be. You see, hypocrisy, it uses things that are good for purposes that are evil. See, this act of giving to the needy is something that's good, but the Pharisees have twisted it to be something that's about them, something that makes them look great. They want the praise. They don't really care about this act that they're performing. Prayer is something that is great and something that we are encouraged to do as believers. But they have twisted it to be something that's about them and how eloquent and educated they sound through their prayers. And in fasting, they have twisted something that is good and something that's supposed to encourage our reliance and devotion upon God to now being something that's about passers-by thinking that they must be very religious because they're fasting all the time. See, maybe you can put yourself in their shoes tonight. Maybe you can understand exactly what's being talked about here. Because you can come to church every Sunday. You can sit in the same seat every Sunday. You bring your Bible. It's highlighted really well. So the person beside you thinks, wow, they read their Bible a lot. But when it comes down to it, is this just an act? Are you just trying to please those that are sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you? What difference does it make in your life? Has your heart been transformed, or do you have a heart of stone like these Pharisees do? Well, the good news is that Jesus goes on through his earthly ministry and shows us that it's simply faith in him that will transform our heart of stone and give us that heart of flesh. We simply need to rely on him and trust on him. It's not about the eloquence of our prayers. It's not about the content of our offering, how much we can give. It's not about how frequent we fast. It's about the heart behind that offering. It's the heart behind our righteous acts that God is concerned with. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. See, God delights in our righteous acts. He delights in our giving to the poor. He actually expects it from us. If you see in verse 2, the wording of this, Jesus says, thus when you give to the needy. He doesn't say, thus if you give to the needy, make sure your heart's right. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, thus when you give to the needy, don't do it like the Pharisees do, or the hypocrites do. So we are to do this, but we are to do this from a right frame of mind, with a right heart. Because Jesus goes on and he gives us the warning that we need. He says that if we give to the needy in order to receive earthly praise, we've already forfeited any divine reward we may receive. Because Jesus says in verse 2, he says, thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. The reward of praise of earthly men, if that's what you're seeking, and if that's what you receive, that is all that you will receive. That's what Jesus is telling us here. If our hearts are far from God through our righteous acts, then we've already received our reward. This act of religious hypocrisy is not something that is dealt with lightly in the Bible, as I'm sure you could imagine. I'll not get you to turn there, but in Amos 5, verse 21 to 24, this is one of many passages that shows us how God views this religious hypocrisy that's being dealt with here. It's not a new issue. It's been around since the start of time. God says, I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And that's Amos 5, 21-24. See, we may read a passage like this or hear a passage like this and think that sounds a little bit harsh. How is it that God can speak like this? Because in the Old Testament, this is exactly what his people were commanded to do. They were commanded to offer these sacrifices so that they may show that they are trusting in God's Old Testament covenant to wipe their sins away and to be made right with him. So how is it that God can speak like this to his people? To people that were supposed to love him and people that were supposed to be devoted to him? Well, the answer to this we can find in Mark's Gospel. In Mark 7, verses 6 and 7, Jesus quotes from Isaiah. He sums it up perfectly, exactly how God is able to say this to his people. God says that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, we can so easily fall into that. We can so easily we are fighting against our old sinful nature, and pride gets in the way. We are selfish. We want to receive praise when we think we do something that's good. And so often when we get in that frame of mind, our hearts are far from God. And that's what God is talking about here. People who are doing the right thing, people who are obeying God outwardly, but inside, they haven't changed at all. Inside their hearts are hearts of stone, not hearts of flesh, that have been softened by their affection for God. And these Pharisees that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6 are people who have not been transformed, have not been trusting and looking forward to this coming Messiah that Jesus is claiming to be. So this is not a passage that we are to take lightly. This is not a verse that we are to just skim past and say, well, that was for the Pharisees back 2,000 years ago. This means nothing for us today. Well, we wage war against our sin just like the Pharisees did. I think so often in Northern Ireland, we are such a churched culture. We know our Bibles quite well. People on the street normally have some sort of a understanding of what the Bible's message is to some degree. But so often we can just rely on what we knew and what we kind of have professed maybe at one point in the past. We maybe think, oh, well, I prayed the prayer when I was 5, so that's me. That's all. I can do whatever I want. And I'll come to church every Sunday and that'll be it. Well, God is saying here that if our hearts haven't been changed, if our hearts haven't an affection for Jesus and for the things of God and don't long to serve him and simply through our righteous acts just give praise and glory and honor to our God, then our hearts are far from him. And Jesus is condemning those Pharisees with that frame of mind, those Pharisees with a heart like that. So tonight, if that is you, heed the warning of Scripture. Come to Jesus. You have the same need of him as those Pharisees did back then. So all you need to do is trust in him, and he has promised that he will give you a clean heart, that he will remove your heart of stone and fill you with that heart of flesh. So that's what Jesus is warning us away from. He's warning us away from having a heart of a Pharisee, the heart of a hypocrite, the stage actor who uses different masks to portray a different role. We're not to have a righteous mask sitting at home waiting to be brought out on a Sunday. We're supposed to be people of integrity. So we're supposed to have the heart of a disciple, and we see that in verses 3 and 4. We'll read it together. Verse 3 says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So the most satisfying giving, the giving that God blesses, is that which is done and then forgotten. It is done out of love, out of a genuine response to a need that is around you. And when that need is met, you go on about your business, not wanting recognition from those who you served or those who you gave to. So what has been done should be kept a secret from your left hand, not to mention those people that are around you. So whether those who we helped were ungrateful or grateful, We're sorry for their sake, and we serve them for their sake and not our own. That is the type of giving that God blesses. That is what we are expected of as believers tonight. So there's maybe a wee bit of a context or paradox that's going on here. I don't know if you've read through the Sermon on the Mount, but this potential paradox actually explains exactly what our righteous acts and what our active giving should look like as believers. So in Matthew 5:16, Jesus exhorts us to let our light shine so that others may glorify our Father who is in heaven. And yet now we've just read in Matthew 6 and verse 1 that we are to perform these righteous acts in secret so that no one may see. But what does this mean? How are we to, at one point, to perform these righteous acts to serve others in order to point them to our Father in heaven? And then when do we perform these righteous acts in private? Well, I found a really good quote that explains it perfectly. I found this so helpful, and it says, "We are to show when we are tempted to hide, and we are to hide when we are tempted to show." So these righteous acts, we are battling against our sinful nature, and when our pride wants us to get the recognition for this act of service, that's when we are to hide our righteous acts. That's when we're to do it in private. But then when we are maybe in fear of the confrontation that serving another person may bring, that we may have to point them to Christ, and will we have the words to say? That's when we are to show our righteous acts. So we are to show when we are tempted to hide, and hide when we are tempted to show. So there are clearly righteous acts that are supposed to be performed in private, and those that are intended to point those who we serve towards the God who we love. And that's all from a result of a changed heart. So this is what the heart of a true disciple must look like. Not just with giving, as this passage is kind of focusing on tonight, but also with our acts of prayer, when we fast, when we serve one another practically. Anything that we do to serve one another and serve God should be done as a result of a changed heart. Not as the Pharisees did it, so that they may receive this earthly praise, because then we have forfeited any divine reward that we may receive. And what is the encouragement to do this? Well, look at verse 4. What does it say? It says, "So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." See, we as humans, we like to receive encouragement. We like to receive recognition for anything that we may do that we thought was a pretty good job. And maybe you in church tonight, you're serving God faithfully in a ministry, but the numbers are maybe a little small and you get discouraged by that. Well, verse 4 says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Maybe you serve your family at home, faithfully performing, serving them in ways that maybe doesn't get seen. And you've done this year on year, and you receive no encouragement or no gratitude at home. Well, verse 4 says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And maybe you've been praying for a particular friend who just doesn't seem to grasp the gospel, who doesn't seem to be interested at all in what you believe in as a Christian. But because you love them, you seek to share with any opportunity that you have, but you just haven't been given that opportunity. Well, verse 4 says that you're to continue to bring them before God because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So whatever it is that's discouraging you tonight, whether you're trying to serve God and you're just not the person or the thing that you're trying to do just isn't playing ball with you, well, verse 4 says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So don't seek the attention of man tonight. Don't let the praise and recognition of man be where you place your self-worth in. It can be so tempting to do so. We love when we feel affirmed and encouraged in something that we have done. But it's much greater to have your sights set on heaven, to have your mindset firmly placed on pleasing God and serving him as you serve others around you. You don't want to forfeit this divine reward that could be yours. So tonight, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be those who are putting on a show and maybe fooling those that are around them. Maybe those that were around them thought that they had it all sorted. They had it all sussed because they performed these righteous acts and performed them all the time. But it was simply a mask that they could bring out whenever they chose. So maybe someone around you is maybe receiving praise for something that they're doing, but you know that just their heart isn't right. Well, here we see that if your sight is set on earth, that you will forfeit any divine reward that may be yours. So tonight, let us get our focus set on heaven. Let's get our focus set on having a changed and renewed heart. It can be so easy to just sit in church on a Sunday. But if you're not moved to want to serve in this church, if you're not moved to want to serve in whatever church it is that you're a part of, if you're not where time allows, I understand that there can be family situations that make that difficult, and that's fine. You can serve your family while you're at home as well. But if you aren't moved to want to do more, to serve, to allow others to come to know this Saviour that you trust in, this only dependable truth that we can have in this life, if you aren't moved to want to share that with others and see others grow in their love of God, then you need to question whether you're a Pharisee that Jesus is talking to here. And I understand that that is tough to hear, but thankfully we have the answer. As believers, we can point one another to Christ, and as a church, we seek to point you towards Christ, the only one who can remove your heart of stone and give you that heart of flesh. So tonight, where are you in this story, in this picture that Jesus is painting? Do you have the heart of a hypocrite, someone who just puts on a show in order to please others? Or do you have the heart of a disciple, someone who isn't perfect, someone who doesn't always get it right, but someone who is constantly being renewed? The Bible draws a similarity to the Christian life of having circumcision of the flesh, which is a pretty gruesome image. But God continually cuts away the sin from our lives. He continually renews us and makes us more and more like his Son. So if you're a Christian tonight and you think, well, I'm not quite at that point, I don't quite meet exactly what is being described tonight, well, if your trust is set in Christ, if you seek to praise and to honour Christ with your life rather than honour men, then you'll not go far wrong. God has promised that he will transform us, that he will renew us to be more like his Son. So tonight, don't be like Tommy, being a pirate that is unbelievable. Be a true, genuine, authentic Christian. Someone who has the heart of a disciple. Someone who longs to simply live to glorify God and not men.